And g'day, guys. Zemo Shell is here, and welcome to the episode number 13 of the Geocaching Down Under podcast, recorded live on this, the 4th of September 2019. And tonight, we are chatting all about caching for beginners. And joining us is none other than Purple Cache Eater from New South Wales, a brand new cacher. We have Skatey Rocks from Queensland. Now, she is a brand new geocacher. How are you going?
G'day, everyone. Hello,
And I'd also like to introduce our special guest co-host. Yes, that's right, a co-host, Angel G. G'day, Angel G.
Hi, C. Michelle. How are you going?
I'm very well. What have you been up to lately?
Well, it's been pretty busy down here, I guess, as it has been sort of all over the place. Lots of caches were doing Mystery at the Museum event.
Oh, yes, that's
and
right.
And then we only just got over that when we had a surprise streak week suggested. We only got like a couple of days' notice for that, right?
It was like a week's notice, if that.
It was very quick, and I had a terrible cold the weekend that it started, but I managed to get out after work and get out off my sick bed and get the streak going, which was very nice.
Yes.
And then actually the weather's been so gorgeous down here in the ACT that I headed out to Googong Dam on Saturday to get a few caches with my good geocaching buddy Foxing Jocks, who's actually done an ACL, but that's a different story.
Oh,
not connected to geocaching.
Oh, that's right.
but anyway, so that was good, and it was just a lovely day to be outside. How about yourself? Did you manage to stump up for another geocaching streak? Don't need geocaching in your birthday suit there, Sea Michelle, either.
I did it both. I did it both ways, just in case. I'm joking. Oh. Jeez, that would be horrendous. As some of you guys know, I've been on a streak, obviously recently, and I finished on 1,234 days. 1, 2, 3, 4. Nice and easy number to remember. But in doing so, I'd actually cached out my local area, and so my nearest cache is like 30, 40 minutes drive away from me. So when they said, "Oh, you got to do a streak for another week," I was like, "Oh, what?" You know, you guys got to work and that as well. So I may have got a cache or two whilst working. But anyway, so I did get that. And Mystery at the Museum as well. That was actually a load of fun. Did you enjoy that?
I did actually. I really liked Well, what I didn't like was actually having to use the geocaching app.
Oh, really?
But what I did like was actually sorting out the caches and realizing that the caches had different colored gems in them and then going chasing the different colored gems.
That's right.
So my partner in crime thought I was completely loony. No, we can't get this cache. We've got to get this one over here.
Right. That's right. That's right. So I think that's what they did it for as well. I think they did it because they want to get people back to the original app, number one. Number two, I think they did it because to try and teach people that you can sort and filter. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
But what I love the best was after you got all the jewels and everything else, well, they hit you with a bam. You got to get 35 more. You're like, what? I actually like that. I thought, 'cause I'm a bit evil like that. But anyway, all right, we're going to move on to news. What news do we have? Of course, as always, we have the geocaching down under. What am I talking about? The events. Now, the big events we have is St. Arnold's event in November down in Victoria. That's GC7DN55, St. Arnold's. GeoVenture 2020 in Millicent. In South Australia, GC82DAN, GC82DAN, and that's in April 2020. And then we have New Zealand 2020 as well. And New Zealand 2020 is in Auckland. That's yet to be published. So that's going to be published soon by the sounds of it. And, do you want a special – I can do a secret announcement. You want me to do a secret announcement?
Do it.
When that cache gets published and I can actually announce it on here, I have something to give away from Auckland itself. That's right. It's their very first geo coin for 2020. So that's pretty cool. So I'll be giving that away later on in a month or two. So keep in mind for that. So make sure you put your Willitens in, register, and plan your geocaching trips now. But big news. GIF events. So have you got a GIF event in ACT yet, Angel?
Actually, I haven't looked. But I don't think so. We're not well advanced enough to plan sort of 3 months in advance. But
yep.
Actually, I know a few caches now that it's been mentioned who will probably go, aha, and they will probably put on a few. So that'll be terrific, actually. Here or in the local area. We've had GIF events up in Goulburn as well, which has been terrific. So
that's right, because Goulburn's not that far away for you guys.
It's only an hour.
It's only an hour. It's all local. Yep. Exactly. And what about you? So we have, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Skatey Rocks is here, brand new geocacher all the way from Townsville in Queensland. How are you going, Skatey?
Hello, I'm great. Yes, tired, but great.
So you're brand new, so you've only been caching for like 3 months. Do you know about these GIF events? Have you heard about GIF events before?
Only through my obsession with YouTube and the geocaching bloggers.
Oh yes.
I've discovered a few GIF older back 2016, 17, 18 videos. The older submissions and some of the finalists and winners through there. So I love watching the GIF movies.
Yeah, they're some of them are really, really good. And we also have Purple Cash Eater, also known, I call her as PCE. She's in Sydney in New South Wales. Surely you've got something happening in Sydney for a GIF event, surely.
Yeah, we do. We've got something planned on the way, but I don't have any details for you just yet.
Oh, so if you're in Sydney, guys, or anywhere near Sydney, keep an eye out for these GIF events. They're going to pop up left, right, and centre. Now, we have a question actually from the chat room, and it is Pipes Down Under, and he says, how long after the GIF events will it be on YouTube? Well, going by history, I think it's about a month, roughly about a month afterwards or shortly thereafter, maybe 3 weeks even. That it actually goes on YouTube, the whole reel goes on YouTube. So if you miss out on a GIF event, you can still watch it. It's just after, that's all it is. But more importantly, we have a finalist from Australia this year. How cool is that?
Finally.
I know. I'll say this now. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I'm proud to be part of it myself and No Tomorrow. And also a lot of the caching community here up in the Northern Rivers region, we got together about 3 or 4 months ago. We put our heads together and sort of we came up with this idea, and then, you know, we harnessed the idea and stuff as well, and then we put it out to the actual community, and they've been really good with some of the actual clips as well. The acting from these guys is just sensational. You wait till you see it. And then No Tomorrow's brother, who is a geo-friendly muggle, he did all the composition for it, like all the music and the sounds and all that stuff. Oh, it is fantastic. It's called, all I can say is the name of it, it's called Cash Police. And you can probably see or tell who's going to be the Cash Police. Anyway.
No idea.
Exactly right, but it was a true group effort, and I'd like to say thank you again to the Northern Rivers geocaching community for that. They did a great job, so that's pretty cool. What else is there, Angel G? What else we got?
Well, of course, there is the big news about the 20th anniversary of geocaching. That's an event that's going to be held in Seattle in August next year, maybe on the 15th of August, I think, which will be very exciting. And I know that there are quite a few people dusting off their passports and planning a trip to the USA, including myself. But that there's like a whole series of events. So there's also the APE event that's happening the following day just outside Seattle as well. And then a week later there's the geocaching Woodstock Giga being held just north of Seattle in Abbotsford in Canada.
Is that a Giga yet?
It's not a Giga yet, but it will be. Definitely sure it will be.
That'd be awesome. So you'll have the Mega, you'll have the HQ, and you'll have the Giga all within like a week.
Yes.
It'll be huge.
It is a really big geocaching thing to do, I think. And if anybody is sort of looking to go to the States to do geocaching, it's going to be pretty busy around then.
That's right. That's like a pilgrimage. That is, let's be honest, that is going to be a pilgrimage.
It is going to be a pilgrimage for people like me who haven't been to the East Coast or to the West Coast before. It'll be very exciting. And of course, we'll do all the other caches as well, you know, like the original stash and go and of do course. GCD and do our Jasmas, you know. So there's plenty of Aussies already planning to go. I've had a look at some of the Will Attend logs, and there's stacks of Aussies. So you will bump into us everywhere.
Exactly. But we are honestly true, guys. If you think about going over there, make sure you do dust off your passports, make sure that they don't expire, you know, all that sort of stuff. Plus, you must look at getting what they call an ESTA, E-S-T-A, I think it is, and that's the what do you call it, like a visa, like electronic visa to get over there as well. So it's we're like sister countries. So it's really easy to get over there. The visas aren't hard to obtain, but you do have to have one. So we might do a show about that coming up later on, another couple of months.
That'd be terrific. Yeah.
That'd be good. I might contact them and see what if they're free. Because like over there now, what time is it here? It'll be like 3 a.m. over there at the moment.
Probably wouldn't be quite 3 a.m., but it would be, you're probably right.
Yeah, 3. On the West Coast, it would be. Because on the East Coast, it's about 5:40 a.m. over there now on the East Coast, you see. So, yeah. All right, guys, coming up very, very soon after this one quick break, we're going to say g'day to a PCE, also known as Purple Cash Eater, and Skatey Rocks. We're going to chat all about what they've been up to geocaching, how they started, what they think geocaching is like, and so on and so forth. So stand by, and we'll talk to them right after this. And we're back with PCE, Purple Cash Eater, Skatey Rocks, and, of course, our special guest co-host, Angel G. Let me get rid of that. That was so close. I'm doing like five different things here at once. I'm still getting used to this new system. So yes. So as I said before, we're talking everything to do with geocaching experiences when you are brand new. And of course, we might actually start off with Skatey Rocks because she's the newest in the house. How are you going, Skatey Rocks? How long have you been caching for? How long have you been caching for now? Did you say?
I am still in my probation period, less than 3 months. Yes. I joined up on the 9th of June and I found my first cache with my then 4-year-old daughter on the 11th of June. So almost 3 months.
Wow. 3 months. So how many finds have you got so far?
Well, as of today, 206. Yay. Oh.
So what's you've still got time to back out. No. You're on probation. You can slowly, carefully back out if you want to.
The goal is one a day. So I think I'm averaging about two a day, but I think the most I've gotten is 15 in one day, and that was when I was in Melbourne, Phillip Island, all the way.
So you've got what? How many states have you got then in that time frame?
I have two states, Queensland and Victoria.
Angel G, what do you reckon? I think she's hooked. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a sad case. We see it regularly, I'm afraid.
It does
unfortunately happen like that. The only hint I would give you at this really early stage is that if you're going to do a geocaching streak, then don't clear out your closest to home. That would be things that you save for wet days, windy days, and days when you are sick. So there is a newbie hint for you.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other newbie tip as well, if you are going to do a streak, you only have to do a streak for 365 days, which is one
That's all.
Year. The only reason I say only because there's some stupid people out there who've done longer. but 360, you can't get a challenge cache that requires you any longer than 365 days. So that's what I say in terms of a newbie tip. 365 days is your most you need require for a challenge cache. And let's be honest, Angel G, that's the only reason why you'd really do a streak for, surely.
Apart from the fact that you love doing geocaching, of course.
Oh, of course, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Of course, of course.
It's season the 7-day streak.
Sometimes, actually, when it's wet and rainy and it's 6 degrees, you know, it doesn't feel like fun. But
no. And you're trying to brush your hands along some sort of metal object looking for a nano and it's freezing cold and your fingertips are frozen. Yeah, no, not good at all. Not good at all. We also have Purple Cash Eater, PCE, here from Sydney in New South Wales. How long have you been cashed for now? G'day, g'day. Oh, is she still there? Oh, she's frozen. Oh, no. Oh. Look at that. I know, it's been working the whole time really well up until right now. Poor thing. We'll come back to PCE. Not a problem at all. Can you believe it? All right, Skatey, how did you actually get into geocaching then? If it's only been like a couple of months, surely you remember.
a bit of a story. I'd never heard of geocaching at all until the day I signed up. And I do remember it was a Sunday, and my daughters and I just discovered painted rocks. If you've heard of painted rocks, they paint rocks, send messages of love and kindness, and yeah, you can hide it and people find it. We'd found a few in Townsville, and we got into that, and we happened to be hiding a rock that we painted under the guise of Queensland Rocks. Mm-hmm. And we were hiding this rock, and we got, now I know it as muggled. We have been muggled out of. And a lady came up to me, and I knew her. She was an acquaintance, and she'd said, "Oh, are you geocaching?" And I said, "What's geocaching? We're hiding a painted rock." love, actually. It had been written love. We'd painted on it. And I was taken aback. And, she said, I said, "What's geocaching?" She said, "It's basically a little secret treasure hunt." She said she's done it a couple of times with her grandchildren. So I said, "Oh, I'm going to go home and Google that." And that's exactly what I did. Went home, Googled it, signed up to, I Googled it, and the first thing that came up was the geocaching blogger. And started watching him on YouTube.
That's not a good start.
Yes. So many kids do that nowadays.
Yeah, they love it. So I signed up to geocaching.com, got the free app on my iPhone, and 2 days later after kindy pickup, we went and found our first geocache. I think we found about three. Yeah. And one day on the 11th, and went back home, and I paid for premium.
See, she got bitten bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was funny because my daughter, my four-year-old daughter had come. I'd picked her up from Kenya, and she was covered in green paint. They'd painted their faces green and black. So the first cache she found, I have a photo of her, and she's covered in camo with this cache.
Oh, I love it. That's the best. That is the best.
Absolutely.
We have PCE's back with us, Purple Cashier. G'day. We lost you before. How are you going?
Don't ask me what happened there.
No, that's all right. So Sydney, in New South Wales. Yes. Have you been? What's been happening with you?
I just got elected onto the Geocaching New South Wales committee. So
that's right.
Throwing my hat in the ring and thought I'd help out.
Yes. So how long have you been caching for now then?
I have been caching for 3 years now.
3 years, yep. So yeah, that's kind of new, but you're right in the middle.
I actually started back in 2006 with my dad, and it was similar. Like, we did about two geocaches together. And this was back when it was just a handheld GPS. So it was getting the coordinates off the web page. Mm-hmm. Putting them into the GPS, trying to work out the GPS because my dad is not the best at technical things. And then heading off into the bush. So I'm originally from southeast Queensland. So I did two geocaches in southeast Queensland, and then I went on a 10-year hiatus and then got chatting to a neighbour one day in 2016 and actually worked out the common connection of geocaching and started up geocaching again. So
cool.
Yeah, I've got a geocaching buddy.
That's awesome. Just to let you know, from the chat room, Benj Wards, he actually asked, "Did you sneak out for a quick cache? Was there an FTF available or something? Is that the reason why we lost you for a little bit?"
Yeah, it was just outside. Yeah.
Nice. Very good. Angel G, what have you got for these lovely ladies? What do you think? Newbies today, what do you think? What information do you think you'd have for newbies today?
Oh, my goodness. I'm putting
it right out there.
Yeah, you sort of put me on the spot there. But I think the idea of actually caching with someone who has cached before is actually a really good idea. I was going to bring this up later, but a couple of weekends ago I took a group of 25 women out and introduced them to geocaching here in the ACT. Mm-hmm. And we went out to Mulligan's Flat, which is sort of way out northeast of Canberra. And they had a great time, actually, and it was really nice for them to have someone with them they could ask questions of and about how it works and how the app works and what you're looking for and what's the etiquette and all of those sorts of things. Like, we found a case just out on the ground. And they said, what do we do? Do we leave it on the ground? And I said, well, you know, it does say base of tree. there is a tree here, so why don't we just put it back at the base of the tree? And it was only like 2 feet away, so I don't think the cohorts would have been terribly problematic. So it was really good to do that, and I think they really appreciated some of the inside information. You know, things like don't just write TFTC.
Yes.
You know, write a little story for the case owner.
Yeah.
Leave a tread lightly. But hey, there's always a geocache trail to where you need to go.
Exactly. Always. There's always the cache trail.
Those sorts of hints, I think, are really handy.
Yes.
So I think if you are new and you are thinking about caching, or you've just started to cache, actually trying to find yourself a buddy to go out with is actually a really helpful exercise.
Exactly. And you think about it as well, it's a social aspect of geocaching is probably what the most people like, you know. I mean, there's friendless people like myself who go caching alone like all the time, but that's not my you know, that's my fault more than anything else. So speaking of which, we were talking about before about TFTC logs and, you know, how to try and improve logging for other people and stuff. And I don't think it's not until you actually are a cache owner you realize that what it is and what it's like. So Skatey Rocks, I'll chuck it to you. You've only been, as I said, 3 months. Have you actually owned any caches as yet, or?
I do. I have my.
She has been bitten bad.
Yes, and I've got a themed cache as well because, you can go with themed caches there with your bison. And I've just had my 7th cache hide published on Sunday, I think. Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. And they're up your way, are they?
Yeah, they're all in Townsville.
Mm-hmm. In Townsville. Yep. So, guys, if you're in Townsville, anywhere near Townsville, have a look at Skatey Rocks and grab her couple of caches while you're up there as well. What about you, PCE? Do you have any hides? You've been now for a few years.
I've got 10.
Mm-hmm. 10 hides?
And just locally around where I live.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because they're new and like ease of maintenance, getting to them and things like that. So
yeah,
I will branch out, but yeah, just while I'm starting, I'll just start small.
Exactly right. And that's a really good point to make as well, guys. If you're brand new to geocaching and you want to hide something, like there's no real legality of how many you have to find before you hide one. But let's be honest, you know, if you find one and then hide one, you're not going to have a good idea of what geocaching is about, as opposed to finding like 100 before you at least hide one, something. So exactly.
And
so
I think actually owning caches, as you say, gives a good sense of when you get a log. You know, when you get a log and it's TFTC, or I've had a log which is a full stop, really, that's all you can manage,
or they manage just the word log. Like,
you know, or found, you know, or even sort of found, and you go, I know you found it because you sent me a found log. Tricky. Are you trying to fool me in some way? But yeah, it does give you a better experience, I think, and a better thought about what sort of logs you would like to receive and therefore what sort of logs you'd like to write.
Exactly. And going to the chat room again, Benj Ward asks, or he actually states, PC has a good series. What's he talking about there, Purple Cache? A good series. Do you have a series of caches, do you?
It's not a fully complete series, but they're all colour themed. Mm-hmm. So of the 10 that I have, 9 of them are all colour themed, and I don't know if you can pick the colour, but they're all colour themed. Something similar to purple. Yeah, might be purple.
Random guess.
I don't know where I came up with that, but yeah.
Well, speaking of coming up with ideas, do you have a favourite one, and where did you get the idea for that one?
Well, I do have a favourite one, but it's not out yet. I'm still building it. Still building it.
Oh, you heard it here first, folks.
Exclusive.
An exclusive.
And my inspiration was actually West Virginia Tim.
Oh.
So there's a hint.
I can honestly say I've done most of his caches, and I've been caching with him as well personally, him and I together.
Jealous.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, actually, it's quite bad actually caching with him because we were walking along a trail and all these people are coming up and they were stopping him. Hey, Tim. And he's such a nice guy. He stops and talks to everyone. And he has the same line. Each one said, you know, oh, I watch all your videos. And he looks at him, he goes, he looks him straight in the eye. And he goes, oh, are you the one, are you? Oh, thank you. Like, that's his go-to line. He's a funny guy.
You've given away his secret now.
Oh, yeah. Exactly right. He's such a funny guy. So he's got a few different ones. We'll leave it at that. We won't say exactly what it is and what you have to do, because obviously it's a gadget cache.
Yeah. It's like an entry-level gadget cache. So,
ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Women with power tools can get dangerous, so I've kept it simple.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. So going back to you, Scotty, then, we're talking about your favorite caches, but what's your favorite part about geocaching? As I said, you're only brand new. So what have you enjoyed so far about the game, the hobby, the sport, whatever you want to call it?
I really enjoy the physical aspect of it, that it's a light form of exercise. It can be hard or tough, depending on the terrain and difficulty. But for me, with the beginner type caches and mediocre, it's getting myself and my two geo munchkins out, being active away from the TV idiot box, and you know, I have a medical condition which requires me to be active, but it's very difficult at the same time. So I'm finding that I have a passion for exploring, like my daughters, and and treasure hunts, and it's affordable. It's literally around your town. It's fuel, basically, you know, some caches we walk to. We can catch the bus into town to get some. It's an affordable hobby. And it gets us out to places that I've been here in Townsville, 4 years, and I've seen more of Townsville in the last 3 months than I have in the whole of the 4 years we've been here.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, and getting out and about, the exercise, the fresh air and sunshine is probably one of the best parts of life, and this actually, you know, makes you do it, so that's pretty cool. What about you, PCA? What do you like best?
Yeah, pretty much the same, actually. Just finding out those places in your local area that you would never have stopped at or gone to without geocaching, and then even when you're traveling, sometimes it just highlights some really interesting areas, you know, that you know aren't necessarily a tourist destination, but you know you end up on a clifftop, or you know looking over a really nice river, or something really cool that you wouldn't have gone to otherwise.
Yeah, that's absolutely. What do you think, Angel G? What's your opinion on?
Absolutely. I mean, I do a lot of traveling for work, and geocaching is sort of my get out of jail moment and go and do something for myself when I can. And it takes me to amazing places that I would never have seen if I'd have just been exploring by myself and gone to the usual tourist attractions. So it is really exciting to go and see those new places. Yes. I was sort of thinking when one of the previous people was saying that they'd seen more of Townsville in the last 4 months than they had in the last 4 years. Well, actually, I'd been in Canberra for 15 years before I started geocaching, and I had seen nothing of Canberra. I had seen nothing. I had been to none of the parks. I'd been to none of the mountains. I'd climbed nothing. Mm-hmm. I had gone to none of the rivers, maybe the Cotter, you know. And so for me, actually, geocaching over the last 5 years, I have seen so much of Canberra. It's been really exciting, and so much of the local area as well, you know. So it just takes you out and about.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I would say is that, like, I'm not a bushwalker by nature, but I will bushwalk to get a cache.
Yes, there's a reason for it. Exactly right. You Absolutely. Hike for a reason. You don't just walk in the bush for no reason. It's like when I used to kayak in the ocean or whatever, I'd have a fishing rod out the back because there's a reason why I'm actually kayaking. Like,
yeah, exactly. You need to have a purpose. I mean, for me at least, I need to have a purpose as to why I'm out there. And a geocache, if a geocache is hours away, it is still a purpose, and it's still a really good purpose.
Yeah, exactly right. And the exercise and the sunshine is all the best. What I actually like about it as well as a different spin-off is the information that you actually learn. So you learn about an area. So when I went to Queanbeyan recently for the Mega, I was there, and with the lab caches that came out, and there was one lab cache there where you actually had to go and find all the different aspects of Canberra. And I didn't even realise about like the Masonic symbolization of Canberra with the three, the triangle and the three hills and, you know, and the river, the, what do you call it, the dam, the lot. So I'm sitting there going, I'm blowing myself away just reading this, not even worrying about the actual lab cache because I'm just intrigued. I'm learning more and more about a city that I didn't even know too much about. So that's what I liked about it as well.
Was that a lab cache or an adventure lab?
Yeah, adventure lab. Yeah, same.
Sorry.
It's a lab. It's a labby thing. No, adventure lab. Adventure lab. That's right. So yeah. Speaking of different types, in that case, then, this wasn't on the sheet, but what sort of types have you done so far, PCE? What sort of cache types have you done? Have you done all the cache types?
No, I mean, obviously, I haven't done an ape cache. Yet to do a web cache.
Oh, yes.
Which I really like to do, but there's sort of none up here. They're like Melbourne and Adelaide, I think.
Adelaide's got two, Melbourne's got one, that's it.
Yeah. So I really like to do that. Such a shame that the one up in Byron Bay, the ape cache, is gone. That would have been really cool.
Yes. I was there the other week, actually.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, I was there and I placed a Gercoin there from that Snag the Tag.
Yeah.
Gercoin, the original ape cache, yes. And it can't be replaced there, unfortunately. Can't even have a tribute cache there because it's now National Park.
I know. Yeah, so that's going to be a long flight to get that one ticked off the list. But
sounds like an opportunity for a virtual, you know.
Yeah, if you get the virtual. I've already got a virtual. I can't get any more. I've got my one.
I know. Someone was truly dedicated to the ape caches.
True. Absolutely. So if you're out there, guys, and you're a true dedicated and you get the virtual, you know it, and you're wondering what to do with it, there you go. What about you, Scatty Rocks? What sort of caches have you, types have you found in your whole 3 months?
Well, there's no virtuals up here in Townsville, but we do have earth caches. Mm-hmm. Got one of them up here. I've actually got an earth cache out at Green Island, which is off Cairns up north. Mm-hmm. I did get a virtual, I think it's a little ghost icon, down in Victoria.
That's a virtual.
Werribee Zoo, there's a rose garden there. I've got that. Yeah. Nanos, micros, smalls, regulars, and large. And yeah. I actually have an other in my hides. One of mine is an other. I think I have actually. Sorry.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's really cool.
A couple of mysteries, but I haven't done any multi caches. I kind of
what?
At the moment. And I've downloaded the Where I Go app, but I haven't done any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, multi caches and Where I Go's.
And no letterboxes then?
Actually, I do have a letterbox. Yes, I've got Townsville's
old
letterbox. And we do actually have a key element large cache based on that Tim that you were talking about.
West Virginia Tim. Tim. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. We have one of them on our uni grounds up here. So, yeah. Yep.
Cool. And Angel G, for new beginners, if you're a brand new beginner and you're looking at all these different types of caches, obviously it's so easy just to get bemused by it all. What about mysteries or multis? They're probably the two hardest to sort of get wrap your head around as a beginner. What would you be advice-wise for a multi or a mystery cache for brand newbies?
Actually, I found multi caches really hard to get into. I actually preferred puzzle caches where you could solve the puzzle at home. Mm-hmm. And then you actually had final coords and then go and find the cache at the coords rather than a multi-cache, which might take you to 1 point, but it might take you to 9 or 10 points depending on how many points the multi-cache has. So, in fact, I'm just looking at my stats now and I've done 888 unknown caches and only 253 multis. And I must say that it's been a real challenge to do all the multis, and I ended up going out with one of my geocaching buddies, Tigfa NZ, and we had multi afternoons. We would actually specifically target multis, we could get our multi count up. So
absolutely.
I would definitely be recommending either easy traditionals or some of the easier puzzles. Some of the easy multi caches, if you have the time. to do those. Mm-hmm. They can be a bit tricky, though. Some of the letterbox hybrids are unfortunately, it's the way they are. Some of them, they're very similar to traditionals in some cases.
Yeah, well, technically, a letterbox cache can either be a traditional, a multi, or a mystery. All the only difference is it's got a stamp in it. So,
yeah, a lot of them do tend to be traditionals with a stamp. Mm, so,
yeah,
they can be pretty easy for geocaches to find. And of course, the other cache type is event caches. How easy are they?
Of course, you know? They're the best. They're one of the best types. Yeah, exactly. You don't even have to sign a log anymore.
No, you don't even. I prefer to have a log, but yes, you
everyone
don't even
does. Have to sign a log. You can. Everyone does.
Turn up and say hello and get some of the good oil from other geocaches or arrange geocaching missions or whatever it is that you end up doing and chatting about it at an event.
Exactly. Now, we've got another question from the chat room. Pipes Down Under asked to explain ape caches. You know all about the ape caches, don't you, Angel G? What's an ape cache?
I don't know all about them, but I do know that they were put out quite early on. There was a series of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many. Do you know how many?
There was eight in total.
Eight in total to celebrate Planet of the Apes movie.
Correct.
Which came out. And they were quite big caches.
Huge MAKs.
A souvenir from the movie in them and things. And they were very, very attractive and desirable caches. And unfortunately, up until recently, there was only one left because the others had been muggled. There was one left in Brazil, and it used to be a pilgrimage for people to go to Brazil to get the last ape cache.
That's right.
Until the one near Seattle was found by an intrepid group a few years ago.
Under
some considerable pressure, I think, geocaching headquarters reinstated that cache. So there are now two ape caches available.
And one in Brazil. Yeah. And so back in the day as well, Planet of the Apes actually paid good money to HQ in order to actually have their icon separate as a totally different icon. You won't see that again at all anymore. HQ do the trackables now instead. But that's how they came about. Now, when they replaced the ape cache in Seattle, I'm telling you now, it is not going anywhere. There's a massive ammo can that's probably 6 foot long, and it is concreted into the ground with like off bits of concrete, and there's rocks everywhere. It's a massive pile of rocks in the middle of this like field, and there's this ammo can sticking out the top. It's hilarious. So yeah, that's not going anywhere now.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I actually had heard, I think the gist of it I had got from some of the podcasts I was listening to that was that cache was particularly targeted by an individual. Mm-hmm. And it took quite a lot of work, I think, to figure out where it was. And, of course, now they've found it, there's no way they're going to let it be muggled again.
No, exactly.
And that's very exciting for us who like to look at our statistics and like to go, oh.
Exactly.
Maybe I can find a Project 8.
Exactly.
While,
and get that,
while I'm
get that,
in Seattle next year.
Get that icon. That's right. I mean, you think about it. If you go to Seattle next year, you can get the if you've never been to a mega before, you can get a mega. Then you get the HQ Block Party, whatever it's called. It's a new name now that they've renamed it. Then you get the Giga and you get the Ape Cache as well. That's four brand new icons that you would not ordinarily get here in Australia at all.
Yeah.
Let alone the webcams. Yeah. Let alone webcams. There's webcams over there galore.
Yeah, that's exciting. I mean, I have five webcams, but one in Adelaide, one in Melbourne, but the others have been up from overseas. So
Exactly. So yeah, so there you go, Pipes, and I hope that explains the ape caches for you. I'm going to go now on to I found a geocaching blogger, and she's known as the Geocaching Junkie. And her blog can be found at thegeocachingjunkie.com, funnily enough. She talks about geocaching as beginners. And what will happen to you and when you start geocaching. Now, Skady especially, see if you can relate to any of these, right? Number one, she says, you will start to view the world differently.
Yes, I'm Geo Munchkins instead of Munchkins now.
Exactly. And PCE, how did you start to view the world differently?
Just tied in before with, like, taking you to places that you haven't been before.
Yeah.
You know, something that you wouldn't normally stop at and enjoy the view. So
yep, yep, exactly. Yeah. Angel G, can you read number two? Have you got the list there? What's number two from the geocaching junkie? What's she saying?
So just before I do, just on one.
Yeah,
you do start to view the world differently when actually you stop saying go and park at this intersection. You say go and park at this cache.
Yes, that's right.
Or when you start using coordinates rather than a reference.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right.
It does change your outlook.
When you're driving with family and you point out as you go past something, there's a cache there. There's a cache there. And they're like, what are you talking about?
My family doesn't want to hear that anymore.
Yeah, that would be a great place for a cache.
No, there's caches everywhere. Shut up.
I went and did an earth cache the other day. It was a beautiful earth cache, magnificent, in a cave and a waterfall going through the middle of the cave. It's just in Queensland, between New South Wales Queensland border. Anyway, I sent it to friends of mine, a work colleague who's not actually a geocacher, and she's like, oh, my God, that is so beautiful. I want to go there with my partner. Whereabouts is it? And I sent her coordinates. I just sent her just the coordinates, and she messaged me back saying, oh, my God, you're such a geek. I'm like, yes.
Well, actually, that's so true. See, Michelle, that actually ties in very nicely to point number two, which is that some people will think that you're weird.
It's true.
I'm going to say not just some people.
Yeah. Most people.
A lot of people will think that you're very weird.
Yes. Does any of you guys get looks or get talked about by your family or friends for geocaching at all?
Oh, initially it was the what are you doing, what is it, why are you doing it, what's the point?
Yep.
I think my enthusiasm for it has just won them over and they just accept it now.
Exactly. What about you, Skadi? Does many of your friends know about geocaching?
I don't think anyone knows that we actually geocache.
Keep it that way. Keep it a secret.
It is a secret treasure hunt of ours. But I do know just from seeing a certain name and a log that I do know a family that geocaches, yes, but we don't speak about it and they don't know. Yeah. But my vehicle, my car, is now a geocache maintenance vehicle. It is no longer my car.
Have you got a sticker on it? Is it trackable?
Yes, I do.
Look at that.
Wow, that was very quick.
Absolutely.
Some people thinking you're weird, certainly Pipes Down Under in the chat has suggested that seeing a certain co-host stripped down to his underwear for an FTF was actually quite weird. So
that, and you know what? That's twice. It happened twice.
Yeah.
On two different days. Yeah. That's mind you, one time it happened, it actually it was to beat him to the FTF. He was going the long way around and I could see the cache, but it was just across a lake. And I thought, oh, bugger this. I'm going to go in. So I stripped down and just went across the lake by myself. So it's true. People do think you're weird.
That's right.
Number three is many pursuits will be planned around geocaching, and that includes holidays as well.
Yes.
Yep. I mean, Skadi, you just went to Melbourne. And what was the first thing you did when you were going to Melbourne?
Oh, yeah. I got my friend into geocaching, signed him up, and we went geocaching Phillip Island. Yeah, he wanted to take me and the Geo Munchkins to the Penguins, and I was like, yeah, we're doing geocaches along the way, right? Yeah. And he would pull up to one, I would jump out, grab it, put in the car, sign, pretend I'm, doing something in the car and race it back. And, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then I was coming back, I said, right, it's only a five-hour drive to Cairns. I'm doing Cairns and geocaching. That's where we're going for my daughter's birthday. And, yeah, did that. Turned it into a geocaching venture.
Exactly right. What about you, PCE? Have you planned anything around just for the purpose of geocaching as opposed to normal?
Yep, absolutely. So, planned a trip away with three ferrets, mm-hmm. and that was the Mid-North Coast Wander.
Oh, yes.
Specifically, like, from dawn till dusk, well, after dusk, getting the series.
That's a long one, that one. That's a long one. It's nice, beautiful locations.
Beautiful absolutely country, beautiful locations.
Yeah, absolutely.
But specifically just for geocaching,
And for those of you who don't know, the Mid-North Coast Wander, that's actually a power trail. It's probably located just west of Port Macquarie, isn't it?
Yeah.
And is that right? Yeah, but just west of Port Macquarie, so up that way. So that's pretty cool. What about you, Angel G? What have you done that's been planned around geocaching? Because your hubby, he's a muggle really still, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a reluctant geocacher.
Say geo-friendly. He's just geo-friendly.
No, he has a geocaching name, but I do his logging for him. So if you ever see if you ever see logs from Bubble 27, you'll know that I'm just doing his logging for him. But sorry, just let a secret out of the bag there. But yes, many pursuits. In fact, I mean, entire holidays have been planned around geocaching. I went to New Zealand a couple of years ago with some buddies to do geocaching around Christchurch down there. I'm planning a trip to the US next year to go geocaching. When I go on my work trips, perhaps not the first thing, but maybe the second or third thing I do is look around and see what the geocaches are in the area that I'm going to. And that doesn't take into account like just day trips or weekend trips away or whatever. So, yes, many, many pursuits.
Exactly. See, and that leads into her number five. I mean, we skipped number four. We'll go back to that. But her number five is traveling will never be the same.
Traveling. I'll hold back many a day trip with her. Oh, yes, we can go there. There's a geocache there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not going anywhere unless there's a geocache.
No.
No, that's right.
There's no point going unless there's a geocache there or B, that you can place one there, like an earth cache or something like that as well. So that's the only point in going places for caching. That's it. No other reason. So we'll go back to number four. She says as well, a whole new world of jargon is opened up to you. Now, Skatey Rocks, brand new. Yep. Jargon. Yep. What do you think about the jargon so far you've heard? What sort of things have you heard so far in the caching community? What can you remember?
I think I came across the acronym language of geocaching in the logs, firstly, and a little bit online with my YouTube videos watching the geocaches. And I was like, oh, I still don't know what this is. and so I Googled, I think, geocaching jargon or geocaching acronyms. Mm-hmm. And it came up with a list of a few people that made a list, or it might be on the geocaching website, but figured out quite a few things. FTC, thanks for the cache. RAF, returned as found.
That's a new one for me.
What's that? Returned as found?
Returned as found. I've heard that one.
RAF, yes. And
Spore, you know that Spore?
Which one?
Spore, S-P-O-R.
No, I don't know that one.
Ah, suspicious pile of rocks. See?
Oh, no. Yes. Is that one? took nothing left swag, so TNLS.
Yep, yep.
Yep. SL, sign log.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
Oh, just a whole acronym of geocaching language.
So just for newbies, if you're a newbie listening to this, the acronym and the jargon is all well and good, but we don't want just TFTC on logs. Just saying. Yeah. We want TFTC on logs, like thanks for the cache, that's okay, but then we want to know more. So
I enjoy taking photos of the location or of the log and posting that with my log.
Yep, yep, yep. Well, here's one for you then, Skatey. Benj Ward in the chat room. He writes PAF. What does PAF stand for? This is turning into an exam. PAF. What does PAF stand for, do you think?
I didn't realize there was going to be a quiz.
No. Yeah, what about you, PCE? What does PAF stand for?
Phone a friend.
There we go. Phone a friend. There you go.
That, but I did not know what that was. So.
Oh, there you go. Well, see, technically you don't have friends up in Townsville because no one knows your cash, see?
Right. How would be PAC, phone a croc?
Yes. Fair enough. Number six, Angel G. What have we got? Number six.
You will do things that you have never done before.
Oh.
And that is for sure.
I've swum in my undies before. That's nothing new.
Yeah, I haven't swum in my undies, but I have pre-planned with swimmers and a towel. To get a cache.
Yes.
That is proper planning, not just like stripping off for the moment. So, but yes, you will do things. No fence will be a barrier to you, or very few fences will become a barrier to you. That is my experience in Canberra, is that you have to learn how to get over fences pretty damn quickly. Easily, and you get to be really good at judging fences. Can I get over
private property?
Are you getting chased by the police there, or what? What are you doing, Canberra? You got fences in Canberra?
Of course we do. We have lots of fences around our public lands and stuff like that. I think they're meant to stop the kangaroos, but actually I've seen kangaroos scoot straight over the top of them, so they're obviously not very efficient. And they don't stop geocaches either. Even if there's a gate 100 metres down the way, no. I'm very clever. I'm going to jump this fence right here. So
why is it, though, that you always find the path on the way out?
Yes, absolutely.
And then you find the walking path on the way out. Yeah,
absolutely. You bush bash in, and the path on the way out always the way. So exactly. Yeah, definitely. Have you done that before, Scatty Rocks? Have you found a path on the way out?
A path on the way out? Yes, I have actually. We went in the hard way into one, and we were like, "What? It's just behind a picnic bench." I think the hardest one is I started getting used to going under bridges for the troll ones.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, girls, you look up on top of the bridge and I'll go under. Went under, this was Saturday, I think, and a snake come out from under a beam and I was like, yep, we're out of here. So,
well, we are in spring now, and I've just been told today, actually, that the snake season has arrived early because of the weather. So it's quite hot and dry. Snakes are out and about, guys, now. Yep. In spring. So be careful when you're out caching, especially in the bush area. Definitely.
Yep. But you become immune to snakes, I think. Yep. Well, not so immune, but you can become more relaxed about snakes. Oh,
that's better.
It's a snake.
I'm going to step
around him, and I'm going to move that rock just over there so I can get the cache. I'm not going to let the snake stop me from getting the cache.
Especially if you've just walked it like a kilometre or two, you're not going to let that happen. No.
It's not going to stand in the way of a cache.
Exactly. Yeah. Can you imagine?
Toe-to-toe with that snake.
Can you imagine, like, our overseas viewers, especially, Dan Truckenmiller, the trucks in the house, what they think of Australia with their snakes when you just said, oh, we become immune to snakes. Like, so like, what? Do you get bitten all the time and just shake it off? Like,
you know what's funny, actually, is watching the Americans vloggers, and they get ants on them and they freak out over ants or just bugs. Yeah. Like, okay, that's the most harmless insect on the planet. Okay.
Let's not worry about the redbacks that we've just brushed off the cage to get to the log.
Yeah, like... Exactly. Well, I've got a very good friend of mine coming over this weekend, actually, for 2 weeks. And she's a geocacher from New Jersey. And her biggest thing is, spiders.
Okay, so she'd be familiar with lots of bugs and critters.
spiders. So just to give you an idea, I said to her, like, you pack light because you can do washing here at my house, not a problem, and, hanging out in the clothesline. And she's like, oh, I'm not hanging out in the clothesline. She said there will be spiders will get into it.
Welcome to Australia.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I know, right? Yes. So, so what else do we have? We have you will eventually start to no longer care what muggles think you are doing. Ah, yes. This is number seven from the geocaching junkie. Is that happened to you yet, PCU?
That one actually took me a little while to get my head around. And I think I made it worse by being aware that people were watching me. So I think I acted even more suspicious. So you just kind of like go and do what you're doing and then just carry on and not bother with people watching you. But that's taken a while.
Yeah. What about you, Angel G? What do you think about that? That you don't, in the end, you don't worry about muggles, what they think.
You don't worry too much about muggles. No. I mean, obviously, if you're looking at a guard cache, you try not to grab the cache out when the car is right next to you. But when they disappear in the distance, it's fair game. You don't want to wait around too long to grab a cache because there's more caches to find, to be honest. The more time you waste pretending to be stealthy, the less time.
And let's be honest, we can all lie like quite nicely. I mean, I was at a guardrail cache yesterday, and here I am looking for a guardrail cache, and I have my phone out for the torch, and I'm looking through with the torch because it's only supposed to be a nano. Unbeknownst to me, there was two guys behind me sitting having lunch, watching me the entire time. And I was struggling with this nano. In the end, I DNF'd it. But I would have been there for a good 5 or 6 minutes until one of them come up and he says, excuse me, are you right? And he actually startled me a little bit. And I just looked at him and I looked straight back and I go, I'm taking photos of the spiders for my American friends. Like, and he's yeah. Yeah, just like that, bang, like that. And he looked at me, he goes, are they like an arachnophobe thing? Yeah. Like, it's American. You know?
Is this police training?
Could be that we lie to people. Like,
because I am really crap at lying.
The other one as well is the lost my keys. That's a good one as
well.
Yeah,
I've done the lost my keys and I've done the lost my earring thing.
So. I haven't done that one. I've just done the take a photo one.
The lost the keys is all good up until that point where they say, well, I'll help you find them. Like that. Yeah, that's when you're going to come clean.
I'm fortunate that I have 2 Geo Munchkins, so the playground ones are easy. They are a great distraction. And, when I take them on the power trails, if I have to climb a tree or anything, it's like, crazy. Let me know if there's a muggle, so they'll yell out.
But probably one of the best ways, though, to not get attention from a muggles is to not actually acknowledge them at all. And what I mean by that is, especially if you're in the middle of somewhere, if you have a fluorescent vest and a notepad, just that's all you need, and you can do whatever the hell you want. You can walk around an electrical box as many times as you want just in doing an inspection, you see. People don't know. Fluorescent vest and a notepad, you can pretty much go anywhere. So there's a little newbie tip for you as well. If you're scared of muggles, that's all you need and you won't have to worry about them ever again.
A clipboard is now part of my geocaching tools.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
I'm actually with people really concerned about me. I think I was down in the Botanic Gardens in Melbourne getting a cache, and I was crawling around on the platform, and I had some dear old ladies come up to me and go, "Are you okay, dear? Is there anything we can do for you?" And I go, as I'm sitting and crawling around, I go, "I'm fine. Just leave me alone."
Exactly.
I'm just fine.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm not having a heart attack. I'm just laying here just to be nice.
I'm just laying here for some other reason that I
exactly.
Can't remember. We're looking for your marbles.
Yeah, I've lost my marbles. Oh, yes. I like it. I like it. The last one that she writes on her blog is, and this is very, very important, and I do really, really like this one as a good newbie tip, and that is there isn't just one way to play this game. There, you can play this game in so many ways, how you like to do it. That's it, you know. At the end of the day, I mean, there's rules and regulations. You make sure you sign the log. That's all you need to do, really. Then it's yours to do. You can find what you want to find, not find what you don't want to find, whatever it might be. You play this game how you want to play it. I like that idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's what I explained, I think, when I was taking these women out to Mulligan's Flat, is that it doesn't matter how you play the game. You know, you can play it, like, do it once a year or once a weekend or when you're out bushwalking or whenever you like. You can do a daily streak if you want. It doesn't
– exactly.
You can think about as many different caches and cache types as there are. There are different ways to play, and you just have to find a way that suits you
exactly.
And that works for you.
Exactly. And I like that. And don't listen to other people out there who say, you know, oh, I cache for this reason, I cache for that reason. You know, we all cache for different reasons. That's it. Some like numbers, for instance. Other people like the 10-kilometer hikes, you know. Everyone's different. So, yep, exactly right. Don't be bullied into any other reason and make sure you just enjoy what we do. Everyone loves geocaching. Why not enjoy it? So, yes. So that's it, guys. How quick has that gone?
That's gone really quick.
It's gone real super quick. So, yeah. Guys, just to let you know, Purple Cash Eater and Skatey Rocks, they are both proud Patreon members of the Geocaching Down Under podcast. Thank you guys so much for your support. If you guys don't know what Patreon is, go to patreon.com/geocachingdownunder, and we have 3 different levels of support, financial support, because it does cost a fair bit of money to keep this going, especially with this new program. So, yes, PCE and Skatey Rocks, thank you so much for joining us. Did you have fun? Did you enjoy?
I had so much fun.
Yeah.
It does go quick, though. I told you it goes quick, didn't I?
You guys are putting me to shame. I'm not a Patreon member. I'll have to I feel embarrassed now.
I've won out.
No, but you're a special co-host, you see. So, Angel G, are we going to see you as a special co-host next month, maybe, or am I putting you on the spot for that?
What's next month? It's October. I'll be in the country.
You'll be in the country?
That's definitely
cool. A good start. Well, there you go, guys. There you have it. You've heard it live here that Angel G will be a special guest co-host for the second month in a row next month in October. So make sure you join up. So thank you so much to everyone who jumped on the live YouTube broadcast tonight. And remember, we do record this live in the first week every single month. So make sure you follow all our social media pages so you don't miss out on any of the GeoChat. If you have any other questions or comments, please drop us a line at geocachingdownunder@gmail.com. This podcast can be downloaded on any of your favorite podcasting apps, including Podbean, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes, and Spotify as well. So that brings us to the end of the episode number 13 of the Geocaching Down Under podcast. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I know I did. Purple Cache Eater, Scatty Rocks, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
And Angel G, I'll see you next month.
Terrific. Looking forward to it.
So for the Geocaching Down Under team, we're over and out.